If you have your Bibles this morning, the book of Jonah, chapter number 2, where we're going to begin. We're going to end up in the book of Psalms before long, but we're going to start in the book of Jonah, chapter number 2. And y'all may have noticed the Jesuses laying around. I don't really know what Jesus looks like, but whenever you Google it, this is the picture you get, so... That's the way we went. And everywhere that you go in this church right now, you'll find him. And if you look close enough, he's looking at you. He's looking at you. Looking right at you. Every single one of you. Me included. Jesus is always watching. Jesus is always there. And that's kind of what we want to dwell on this morning. The fact that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what you find yourself up against, no matter what kind of battle you might be fighting, no matter what kind of fish stomach you may be in, Jesus is always there. And Jesus told his people before he left them, he said that I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Which means the only time that we find ourselves even remotely distant from Christ is whenever we leave him. And I pray to God that we could avoid that at any and all costs. The book of Jonah, chapter number 2 this morning. The book of Jonah, chapter number 2. We're going to begin in verse number 1. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word. The book of Jonah, chapter number 2, verse number 1. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. But thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and get at your house again. God, we thank you for the wonderful song service. Lord, we thank you for this church. And Lord, we ask you this morning that as we look into your word, God, that you would help us, remind us that you're always with us. God, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. And Lord, that if we find ourselves calling out for you, you promise that you'll hear us. And Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning throughout this service. Above all, continue to have mercy on those who are lost. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah found himself in a very precarious situation, and most of the time we try to look at Jonah from the beginning. This morning we're going to look at him as already in the belly of the whale. Now we know that Jonah ran from God, and we all do that. Every single one of us, don't try to raise your hand and say you don't, because you do, and I do too. Remember that we all run from God, we all do things that God don't want us to do, and we all try to hide things from Jesus. Well, as you found this morning, there's nowhere in this church that you can go that Jesus ain't looking at you. There's nowhere that we can run that Jesus will not find us. There's no place that we can go that Christ cannot be with us, and that God cannot see, and that God cannot reach. And Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale. And we read this verse last night, and I believe that Brother Doug was the one that got the question right. Whenever the question was, who said it? And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now Jonah was about as far from a church as a man could get. You agree? He wasn't nowhere near a pew. He wasn't nowhere near an altar. He wasn't nowhere near a preacher. He wasn't nowhere near a cross or a little bitty baby Jesus. He wasn't nowhere near any of it. He was in as nasty of a place as you want to begin to find yourself. And a lot of people will say, well, this is metaphorical. I believe that if the Bible said that God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah, that a fish swallowed Jonah. And people will say that that's impossible, but you know, we know that God does the impossible all of the time. And so Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale in the bottom of the ocean. And he found himself calling out to God. And he said, I cried out from the belly of hell, and thou heardest my voice. Go, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 12. And we've been studying in Psalms on Wednesday nights, and we hadn't gotten to chapter 12 yet. But I find a lot of encouragement from chapter 12 as far as the things that we see and the things that we face in our everyday life. And I believe that David could have wrote this yesterday and it would have been just as accurate, just as true. This is one of the only psalms that you'll find that begins with the word help. David didn't waste any time. He said, God, I'm in trouble. He said, help, Lord. God, I'm in trouble. God, I need you. Whenever we find ourselves in a place that we don't know where to go next, we don't know, we're trapped in the belly of a whale. Remember that you can punch and you can kick and you can fight and you can claw, but until you break down and cry out unto God, there's very little hope for salvation. Until we get to the point that we can break down and we can cry out for God, that we can look to God and know that that's where our help comes from, know that that is where our hope comes from. Until we can get to that point, then God is going to continue to break us. Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Look out in public over the next few days and you tell me how many godly people you find. The godly man is in the vast minority now. It used to be that you could find a Christian church and you can find Christian people about anywhere you go. And now it seems like you can find the exact opposite. You can find anyone that wants to cuss Christ. You can find anyone that don't want to believe in God, and you can find them everywhere. They're all over. They're in our families. They're in our communities. They're in our schools. They're all over. People that want to disagree with God. People that want to say God don't exist. People want to say that God can't make a whale swallow Jonah. People want to say that God can't help you unless you're wearing this, unless you're doing that, unless you're believing this or unless you're repeating that. My God is not limited by what we can or cannot believe. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful man fall from among the children of men. He said, help, Lord, for I am all alone. Now, a lot of Psalms, we can't tell exactly where David was writing them from. And this Psalm fits in most places in David's life. David could be standing on the hill overlooking Goliath and he's thinking about this psalm. And he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. There's nobody to stand up to Goliath for your people. There's nobody, I'm all alone. He could write this as he's running from King Saul, as he's hiding in a cave. And he says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Even your king is trying to kill me. He can write this while he's running from his own son, who is trying to kill him, who has rebelled against him, who is trying to take the kingdom from him. And he says, help, Lord, for even my family has turned against me. This psalm fits in several different places in David's life. And I believe that it fits in a lot of places in our life. Because a lot of times, especially whenever you get outside of church, you find yourself in a place that the godly man is hard to find. That the faithful fall from among the children of men. And then, here we go. David wrote this yesterday. Pay attention. Verse number 2, he said, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. He said, people are lying left and right. People are telling false truths left and right. People are lying all over the place. Don't that sound like society today? I know most people don't believe it. But we are living in a society today that would rather climb a tree to lie to you than they would stand on the ground to tell the truth. People would rather tell you a lie than the truth because the lie is more fun. Go watch the news. Go get on social media. People would rather lie to you because that's what inspires people, a lie. That's what gets people's blood boiling, a lie. That's what gets ratings up, a lie. You want to get people to listen to you, you got to tell them something interesting. And if you don't have anything interesting to tell them in your life, then you're liable to make something up. He said, they speak vanity. Everyone with their neighbor, they're gossiping. They're lying. Everybody is talking. And David said, God, they're talking about me. They're saying these things about me, and I can't get away from it. Everywhere that I go, everything that I do, I hear blaspheming against you. I hear heresies against me. I hear people lying. I hear people gossiping. And it's all over the place. He said, with flattering lips and with a double heart, do they speak? We call that people that are kissing up to you with flattering lips. Those that would just tell you whatever they want to tell you. Oh, you look so pretty today, Bailey. She is honest with me. She is. She came in the bathroom this morning and I didn't have my coat on. I said, how do I look? She said, not good, Daddy. She said, not good, Daddy. I said, what's wrong? She said, that orange tie don't match. She's 3. She said, that orange tie don't match. And then I asked Emily, I said, is this tie orange? She said, no, it kind of looks red, but it could be orange. So we had a bottle of mouthwash laying there and had a bright Hunter's orange cap on. I said, no, this is not orange, it's red. So finally, I convinced Bailey that this was red and that it matched and that it was all good. But so many people, they'll tell you, oh, you look so pretty. And then they'll turn around and they'll talk to somebody else. Did you see what you were wearing? They'll tell you exactly what you want to hear to your face. They'll tell you exactly what will make you feel good to your face. And they'll turn around and they'll tell everybody else something different. They'll tell you what you want to hear. And David was no exemption. They told him what he wanted to hear because he was in a place of power. They told him what he wanted to hear because he was the king. Because if they told him the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts, but had they told him the truth, he could have had them killed. And so instead of telling the truth, they told him a lie. And with flattering lips, they were kissing up to him. And they were telling him whatever he wanted to hear. And he said, God, I'm sick of it. God, I'm tired of it. Nobody is being honest with me. They're speaking with flattering lips. They're speaking with a double heart. They're speaking with a double tongue. And pictures that you see of Satan, you see him as a big red dragon with big old horns. And what's his tongue always look like? His tongue's always forked like a snake, ain't it? You know why? Because whenever, and we call it people talking out of both sides of their mouth. Whenever you tell one person one thing and one person another team, whenever you're an Alabama fan when they win, and an LSU fan when they win, or whenever you can't figure out which side of the fence you're going to get on, and so you sit straddle the fence, and depending on what type of people you're with, that's how you act. That is a dangerous, dangerous way to live. And David said, these people are all around me, God. They want to be Christians when they come to your house to worship, but then they live like hell out in the world. They want to be Christians whenever they're around other Christians, but then you ought to hear the way they talk everywhere else. They're talking with a double tongue. They're speaking with a lying, double heart. And God, they're all over the place. He said in verse number 4, we're going to skip verse number 3 and come right back to it in just a minute. Verse number 4, who have said with our tongue, we shall prevail. They said, as long as I talk louder, as long as I... That's the way it is in the world today. Whoever talks the loudest and whoever talks the longest, they're going to win. Right? Y'all heard of a, what do they call it? Filibuster? Ain't that what they call it in Congress? Filibuster. So if there's something going on and you don't want it to happen, you just stand up and you talk for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And I don't know how to do it. But you stand up and you talk and you talk and you talk. And as long as you run the time out, you're good. As long as you talk longer than everybody else, you're good. And then you get to the influencers and the social media and the news media. And as long as they're louder than everybody else, they can convince you. Did you know that in 2015, that there were less, LGBTQ, whatever their community is, in the United States? There were less than 5%. 2015. Less than 5%. In 2015 is where the United States Congress began to consider laws that had this language in it. Do you know why less than 5% of the population of the country was able to inflict damage in our Congress? Do you know why that was able to happen? Because they shouted louder and longer than everybody else. They shouted louder and longer. And David said that they say, with our tongue we shall prevail. With our tongue we shall prevail. It's like me trying to compete against some of the kids that get cutting up. You're going to listen to one or the other, right? I love it. Absolutely love it. And if they get loud, I can get louder. And if I'm not loud enough, Brother Ethan can get me louder and louder and louder. And we can get there, and we can get to the point that we overwhelm them, that you can hear nothing but this. Whenever you're cutting the grass and you put them headphones on, that lawnmower's loud, right? But if you turn them headphones way up, you can hear the music through them, right? Because you're louder. Because you're turning your headphones up louder, and so it drowns out the lawnmower. And so many people today are drowning out the Word of God. They're drowning out Christians, not because they're right, not because they're in the majority, but because they said, we will speak louder and longer. We will overwhelm them. We'll beat them because we can hold out the longest. We'll beat them because we are louder than they are. And David said, God, these people are all over the place and I need your help. He said, and they said that our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Do you know anybody in your life today, anybody that you've ever heard, that take absolutely no account to their words? That they don't care what they say and they don't care who's around. People that'll cuss like a sailor no matter who's listening. People that'll run folks down. Let words come out of their mouth that ought not even be in the human language. And they say, who is Lord over us? Why should I not have to worry about what I say? Why should I not use these words? Why should I avoid this? What's the point? What's the purpose? I'm the master of my own tongue. And the Bible says that the tongue is no man can tame. The Bible also said that the tongue is dangerous. And if we follow God, if we obey God, then we will allow Him to use our tongue and not our own. But David said, all of these men are saying, who is Lord over us? I will use my tongue however I want to. I will say whatever I want to. I will do whatever I want to. And I will be whatever I want to. Now you read this chapter and you tell me if that don't sound a lot like society today. It sounds exactly like society today. You have those that are talking louder. You have those that are talking longer. You have those that are gossiping with their neighbor. You have those who are flattering and telling what you wanted to hear. You have those that are speaking out of both sides of their mouth with a forked tongue. You have those who are saying, we'll talk louder and longer. And then you have those who are saying, we'll say whatever we want. It don't matter if it's true or not. It don't matter if it offends or not. We'll say whatever we want. We are the Lord over our own tongues. And I hope and pray that we don't fall into these categories. But David said, help, Lord. For all of this is overwhelming me. Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale. David found himself in a palace. He found himself in the king's house. And they both had the same problem. David was in the belly of a whale. Can you imagine a stink? That's what I worry about. Yes, it's dark, and yes, you can't see nothing. And a lot of times we will imagine Jonah being kind of lit up, and he's able to kneel down and pray. But in the belly of a whale, the majority of what's in there is liquid, and it's dead fish. And it's dark because the whale has his mouth closed, and Jonah didn't have a candle. So he's in darkness. He's soaking wet. It smells awful. He is in a terrible place. Anybody think they could join him? Anybody want to join him in the belly of a whale? Nobody want to join him in the belly of a whale? How about David? David was living in the king's house. He had whatever he wanted. He had servants on every hand. If he wanted some grapes, he had grapes. If he wanted some Skittles and only wanted the red ones, he had people that would pick out all the rest of them. David had anything that he could have wanted. Anybody want to join David in the king's palace? Get a few more people and more looking to join him. But they were both in the same shape because they were overwhelmed and they needed help. They were overwhelmed and they needed help. Today we can find ourselves overwhelmed by just about everything. Like Jonah did, we can find ourselves overwhelmed after running from God. We can find ourselves overwhelmed because we were not where God wanted us to be. Or like David, we can find ourselves overwhelmed by the people around us. We can find ourselves overwhelmed by society. We can find ourselves being even crushed by friends and neighbors who are gossiping, talking with flattering lips and a double tongue. Verse number 3 of Psalm 12 said, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. For the oppression, verse number 5, of the poor and the sign of the needy, now I will arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. God said, I will take care of this. God said, I will solve this. I will finish this. I will fix this. Verse number 6. This is where I want to end up this morning. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words. I think I've mentioned this again, but if you look in verse number 6, it's where I got the saying that this is not the word of God. It contains the words of God. It said that the words of the Lord are pure. Jesus does not speak in maybes and perhapses. Jesus does not speak in well, follow your heart. Y'all ever heard that phrase today? Ooh, I hate that phrase. I mean, it just eats me up. People say, follow your heart. Please don't follow your heart. Follow the Bible. Follow God. Follow the Spirit. Don't follow your heart. David said, for the words of the Lord are pure words, as the silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Now in the Old Testament, you had several different types of furnaces. You had the fire pits, and they would melt especially softer metals, such as lead over the fire pits, and they would make jewelry and stuff. And then they would take even soft silver and they could melt it in there, but they couldn't purify it more than one time. And so the silver that they would just purify one time, that they would cleanse from infirmities one time, that was like costume jewelry. It was cheap, it was simple, and there wasn't a whole lot to it. But then you had the furnace of earth, and the furnace of earth was insulated by dirt. It was insulated by the earth. And so whenever you had this furnace that was insulated, it was able to get significantly hotter. And so it would get hotter and hotter and hotter until the point that it would continue to purify and it would continue to melt. And it would melt just about anything. And so they were able to scoop those impurities off the top of the silver as they would rise to the surface. But this was not an easy job. This is not something that's simple. Any of this ever been anywhere close to a blacksmith forge? That's hot. Whew, that's hot. We have one at the house, and I used to make knives when I was a kid, just kind of piddling around with it. And we get that fan to going, and them coals will get forever more red, burning hot. And you shove it, we use them WST bolts or a rebar, anything that we could use. We didn't make very good knives. We shove them in that fire, and in just a minute, they come out forever more red hot. And if you held it about this close to your face, you could feel the heat coming off of it. And if you left it in there a little bit too long, then it would begin to splatter and begin to sparkle and shine. Kind of like an Instagram filter. And as it began to sparkle and shine and kind of splatter a little bit, that was the impurities popping out of it. And so the hotter it got, the purer it got. But the hotter it got, the harder it was to work with. The hotter it got, the harder it was to be able to grab a hold to it with those tongs because it wanted to bend. The hotter it got, the harder it was to work with because every time you would swing the hammer, you would do more damage than you thought you could. The hotter it got, the harder it got to stay in that blacksmith forge because as you're working, you're standing this close to it. And that thing is several hundred degrees and all of that heat is coming back on you. And you know, people only do this during the summertime. We don't do it in the wintertime because we're a bunch of knuckleheads. So we do it during the summertime whenever it's 100 degrees out here and it's 400 degrees in here. And we're standing right between the two, and we're steady working. And while you're working, you have on welding gloves, and you have on a leather jacket. Whenever these men would purify silver, they decked themselves out in what we consider leather. It was animal skins. They had to insulate themselves against the heat. They had to keep themselves from burning. It was hard work. And the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Whenever it was purified seven times, it was considered to be as good as it could get. It was considered to be the best, the absolute top price. If you believe that being a Christian is easy, then you have not yet been purified. If you believe that reading the Word of God is simple, you have not yet been purified. We had two MVPs with the game we played in Jeopardy last night. Did y'all find it weird that they were both Sunday school teachers? You want to learn the Bible, you become a Sunday school teacher. And make you learn whenever you're studying and teach the kids. There's no more important job than training up kids and teaching the kids. And the two Sunday school teachers, they nailed it last night. There's nothing about studying the Word of God that's easy. It gets hot. It gets convicting. And so many times we'll read something in the Word and we'll say, I don't know about this. I think I'm just going to go back and find something on TV that don't hurt me quite so much. I'm going to go find something to do that don't convict me quite as much. I'm going to go find something where I can feel good. If you read the Bible all the time and you feel absolutely wonderful about doing it, you're not reading the Bible right. You're not. You should enjoy reading the Bible. We should all enjoy reading the Bible. But the Bible is a convicting word as it tries to purify us. It convicts us. It is supposed to change our life. It is not supposed to allow us to go about doing the same thing and being the same thing. And I think I've used the example before. If you're in the hospital and you flatline, you are dead. If you flatline as a Christian, if you cease to be convicted, if you cease to change your life, if you cease to grow, you are spiritually dead. The Bible can bring us back to life. This morning we studied the resurrection, but Dean did a great job of Sunday school lesson. But without the resurrection, a lot that has to do with what we believe just kind of goes away. If the resurrection didn't happen, then we're in trouble. If the resurrection didn't happen, then we would be wasting our time. But praise God, the resurrection did happen. And this morning, if you find yourself overwhelmed, if you find yourself in the belly of a whale,
Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to God. I saw a picture on a church's website not long ago, and I said I was going to remember it for just a time like today. But it was two pictures, one on top, one on bottom. And the picture on top was a man kneeling down. And he was kneeling down. And he was saying, God, help me. God, speak to me. God, I need you. And the second picture underneath was a hand coming down out of the cloud. It was considered to be God's hand. And it was a hand coming down out of the cloud. And he was handing him a Bible. He said, here you go. I'm going to speak to you through the Bible. I'm going to speak to you through my word. I'm going to speak to you through the church. I'm going to speak to you through the Spirit. But you got to listen. You got to be willing. And you got to cry out. David found himself in a place that he could cry out and say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Whenever these babies need something, are they quiet about it? Whenever your babies get hungry, are they quiet about it? Whenever adults get hungry, are we quiet about it? If you think you are, you can go on a vacation with some adults. Start smelling Cracker Barrel and people start wanting to pull off, and you're liable to get in a fight over somebody that's been without a meal too long. Whenever kids get hungry, whenever they get tired, or whenever something gets wrong, they cry out for help because they know that the parent is there to help them. They know. Me and Bailey came up here early this morning. We wanted to decorate. So we were here about 9 o'clock and we were trying to come in that side door over there, and it's got the new door opener on it. And I had couple of boxes in this hand, my Bible in this hand, so I got my key in the door, I got the door open, and I went to pull on, and it was kind of hard to pull on, so I pulled on a little harder, and Bailey was standing right there. Boom! Right there. Right in the middle of her forehead. Oh, it hurt so bad. It hurt me as much as it did hurt. And so I set all my stuff down, I said, come here, I'm going to make it better, I picked her up, and I kissed it, she stopped crying. Just like that. Like nothing ever happened. Evidently, it didn't get her too bad. She stopped crying just like that. And the reason that she did was because she knew that I was there to help her. I was there to fix it. I was there to kiss it. I was there to make it feel better. And God is there for us. God is the one that is always there, always present. He is the one that will never let us down. He is the one that will never forsake us. He is the one that if we cry out, He will help. He said, for the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. For the Lord shall prevail. Verse number 7, thou shalt keep them, the words of the Lord. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. It is not the place of man to preserve God's word. It is not the place of seminaries to preserve God's word. It is God's place to preserve thy word. And the wicked shall walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. But that don't matter. The wicked's going to walk around. You're going to see them. They're going to be all over us. And get ready, it's coming. And y'all know that it is. And you're going to be around people that gossip, and you're going to be around people that lie, and you're going to be around people that cheat and steal and cuss, act foolish. You're going to be around people with flattering lips. You're going to be around people with a double tongue. But David said, God, I need your help. God, I'm overwhelmed by this. I need your help. Jonah cried out from the belly of the whale, and he said that thou heardest my cry. Jonah cried out from as far from church as you could get, and God heard his cry. This morning, I don't know what may be overwhelming you. I don't know what may be standing between you and God. I don't know what may be standing between you and church. I don't know what may be standing between you and your Bible. But whatever it is, it ain't worth it. It's nothing that God can't take care of. Jonah cried out. David cried out. Moses cried out. Abraham cried out. Peter cried out. Paul cried out. James cried out. John cried out. And at the end of at least two of the Gospels, we find a place where Jesus cried out. Jesus was hanging on the cross because that's what he had to do for you and for I. And we find him hanging on the cross, and he cries out. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. It was on our Jeopardy board last night. What man said, be not overcome by the world. Be not in fear of the world. Don't be overwhelmed by the world. For this man said, I have overcome the world. There's only one individual in history that's ever overcome the world. And if you will cry out to Him this morning, if you're here and unsaved, God, for Jesus' sake, will save you. And if you're overwhelmed by something in your life this morning, if you will cry out, God can change it. God may not always take it away, but by changing our perspective, by using our faith, changes the whole situation. It looks hard. It looks difficult. It looks absolutely rough sometimes. And if we were left to our own devices, if you had to reach out to me for help, you'd be in trouble. But you don't reach out to me for help. You reach out to God for help. Jesus is always there. He's always watching. He's always protecting. He's always leading. He's always guiding if we will but let Him. And if you need to today, take some of these home with you. You can find them in the windows and above the doors and on the piano and in the church pews. Take one home, set it on your bathroom, kitchen counter. And every morning whenever you get up, remember that Jesus is with you. And every evening whenever you brush your teeth and go to bed, remember that Jesus is with you. And whenever you find yourself absolutely bewildered and overwhelmed, remember that Jesus is with you. All you have to do is call out. While we have a verse of song, we're going to ask for a verse of invitation. If someone has something on their heart, we can invite you to come at this time.